is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
Yeah, it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Uri.
Hi, Uri. It's Nicole Whitney calling News for the Soul. Welcome.
News for the Soul is now in its 25th year of broadcasting. Tune in live or visit the archives at newsforthesoul.com. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show. And first up today, we've got Raisin Energy Healing with Sarah. So let's bring her on to reintroduce herself, her show, and what's up for today. Sarah, you have some extra time to kind of expand on what you do as we're still working on getting the lines going for you.
Okay, great. Well, hello, everyone. This is the Raisin Energy Show. I'm an energy medicine practitioner and intuitive healer, and I focus on helping people reclaim their health and get on with their lives. So often our health journeys can really take over everyday life and suck our resources, our focus, our time, our money, everything into healing. So, or into managing. So it's really my passion to help you figure out what's keeping your body stuck and reclaim your health so that you can live your true potential. So I do that by tuning into the body and clearing where things are getting stuck. Our body has an innate ability to heal. It does know how to heal. We know this by just looking at what happens when we cut our finger, we have an accident. Our body immediately jumps into the healing, and it knows exactly what to do. We don't have to tell it. That part of you is what we use to unblock and then let your body start healing itself. And the results are somewhat magical when we can just get things out of the way. Sometimes we think just the mind can get better and just the mind can improve, but the physical body can shift very, very quickly when the blocks that are keeping it stuck in a state of unwellness can get cleared. Anxiety disappearing, sleep suddenly improving, night terrors gone, chronic infections suddenly being gone, healing from cancer, from other debilitating infections, illnesses, and symptoms. This is what is possible when we help the body get aligned with its healing ability, its natural healing ability. So what I would love to do is we can check and see if any callers are here for sessions. Otherwise, we can do some other balancing.
We're still working on the line, Sarah. There's no callers on the board currently. So
okay, very good. So what I would love to do is talk about, just for a moment, some of the major blocks that keep people stuck that you may not even know exist. And then we're going to jump into a balance on those for everyone listening. So if you're listening, you will receive the healing of this balance. But first, let's talk about some of the, you know, the number one thing that blocks our ability to heal is stress. And stress, I don't just mean mental stress, I mean stress of all kinds: physical stress, mental stress, emotional stress, even spiritual stress. So any kind of stress can block that natural healing ability of the body. And so let's just talk very quickly. Maybe just chatting about this is going to open up awareness within you. You're going to start seeing patterns and opportunities in your own life to really remove these blocks. The first one is what we really think about when we think of mind-body healing, and that is the mind. The mind, research shows that we have between 40 and 60,000 thoughts a day, which is a pretty staggering number. And of those, 80%, I believe, I'm getting the numbers right, 80% are the same as the day before, and 95% of them are negative. Now, this isn't always true, of course. Some of us are very positive people. But in general, the mind has this constant stream of chatter, and it's usually repetitive. Most of it is repetitive. Most of it is not positive. And it's the same stories that we're hearing. Now, many times this is actually in our subconscious. We don't even know what we're hearing. So you may be going about your day, and all of a sudden, well, you shouldn't do that because you might have a problem. Maybe things won't work out so well. You may not even hear that voice. It might be in the background, this little tiny, tiny voice that you don't even know is there, but it influences the way you feel about maybe taking risks or putting yourself out there or trying something new. So this is the way these voices sabotage our progress, whether it's with our life, whether it's with our health, whether it's with relationships or finances, whatever it is. So we have to realize the mind is extremely powerful, and often there's this chatter that we don't know is there. Now, the other very important thing to know about the mind is that thoughts, which is what the mind generates, thoughts create emotion. We think thoughts are just thoughts. Oh, it's just something I was thinking. But they actually create emotion, and emotion is energy in the body, and emotion can affect our immune system, our nervous system. This is where stress that we think about comes in. So you think a thought, it makes you feel frustrated because you feel it's not safe to take a little risk and change something in your life. All of a sudden you feel out of control and frustrated. That emotion then impacts your physical body. Your immune system responds to those emotions and that energy. Your nervous system responds. And so very quickly, a mental thought that then created emotion then affects the function of the physical body. And this is what is so powerful about mind-body medicine. Okay, so that's an example of the mind. We talked a little bit there about emotion, but did you know that your body actually stores emotion from your past? The body is an amazing storage site. So let's say you're 6 years old and your parents are having an argument, and it's really scary for you. It's just very scary in that moment. You don't have anyone to comfort you. You don't know if it's okay, and it's scary. Your little six-year-old body has to survive this moment. And so what we do in moments where our capacity to handle is less than the intensity of the moment, we store. So when we can't cope with what's going on without damaging ourselves, we store the emotion. There's no way to safely process it. That stored emotion gets locked into the body. There's no other place to put it. Emotional energy is energy. We know from physics that energy can't just disappear. It changes state. That energy gets stored in the body, and it gets tucked away. And we forget about it. We don't have the ability to deal with it in the moment. It gets stored. This process actually keeps us safe. It keeps us from being damaged. It keeps us from harm, psychological harm. And this is how we survive the unimaginable, right? Very difficult traumas and experiences. But there comes a time when this emotion must be freed in order for us to be healthy and in order for us to feel good, to be able to feel joy, to be able to feel peaceful and calm. So when we are older, typically we become aware of these patterns now that we have the skills or the resources to figure out how to process this old emotion. And this is the trauma that gets stored in the body. There's a lot of information out there, a lot of research, a lot of great thinkers that have talked about how trauma gets stored in the body. This is the mechanism. But it doesn't have to be, you know, huge, huge of occurrences. It can be little, small, chronic, constant stresses. So a critical parent, a volatile parent, a teacher that shamed you in front of the class. These seemingly innocuous events get stored in the body and can really lead to disruption. So this is what we need to clear when we have chronic illness. These disruptions have sabotaged our body in some way, and we need to reclaim the communication, the function, so that our body can be healthy. All right. Now, the other piece we haven't really talked about is the spiritual stress that can happen in the body. I like to think of this often as attachments to people and places and events. So to use the example of a controlling parent or a bully in school is a great example, or any time in the past if someone has been victimized or had their power taken away. Maybe you were in a relationship in high school where you had an extremely controlling boyfriend or girlfriend. Maybe you had an extremely critical parent where you felt you could never be you. You had to be the person they wanted you to be, or you got shamed or criticized or in some way belittled, which felt really bad, so you tried to avoid it. Well, in that process, you give up your power. These connections are honestly, they're like threads or sometimes water hoses, garden hoses. These connections drain our energy and keep us from being able to be whole. So this is the spiritual side of healing where we need to reclaim that energy. We need to clear the reason the connection was formed in the first place, what made us vulnerable, and then we need to cut that connection. When we do this, we can increase our body's energy 30-40%. These can be massive energy drains from the past. As we reclaim this, our body just has more energy. It's not bleeding and leaking. Think of a flat tire. I mean, you only have so long when you have a leak in your tire to get where you're going because you are draining air. The same is true for the body. We are draining energy through these connections. They must be healed and disconnected for us to find freedom and health. So that's really the spiritual side of healing, and our attachment to those things that can be attached to us and drag us down can be anything. It can be a place. It can be possessions, material goods. It can be romantic partners from the past. It can be even attachment to a parent who needed you. Maybe you were a primary support for a parent or even a sibling. So any situation really, including a business, can drain our energy in this way, in a negative way that needs to be healed so that we can find health. All right, so those are the primary causes of why the body gets into dysfunction, why emotion gets stored, and why it needs energy healing. Now, one of the most common questions I'm asked is, how do I prevent energy blocks? Okay, so this is a problem. I go and I get healing. How do I prevent it from happening again? There's a very, very simple way, and that is you have to prevent energy from getting stored in your body. Remember, we said that we store energy when it exceeds our ability to cope in the moment. The way to prevent energy blocks is to actually allow emotion and our response to things to be processed. So when you feel frustrated, don't try and talk yourself out of it. Allow yourself to feel the frustration. In that process, you're clearing old frustration and allowing your body to lighten. When we talk ourselves out, oh, I shouldn't feel frustrated. I really have it pretty good. There's no reason for me to complain. Let me just distract myself with this. Rather than feeling and connecting to that emotion and letting it move, we are furthering that paradigm of keeping it stored in the body. We don't want to do that. We want to use these moments to release what is stored so that we can be healthier and lighter. So working with emotion is one of the most important things you can do to allow the body to shed what is blocked and to prevent further blocks from becoming stored in the body. This is the number one, in my opinion, this is the number one thing you can do to help your body be healthy, is to address emotion as it comes in, allow it to process what has been stored in your past, and allow it all to move, leading you into a lighter state of being. In those moments, you will be in alignment, you will feel good, and then you will be able to manifest every solution you need for whatever it is that you're trying to conquer, whether it's a health condition, whether it's financial insecurity, whatever it is in your life that you're trying to attract, it will start to fall into place when you are in alignment and feeling good and connected to your intuition. That all happens as we process old stored emotion. So I want you to think of old stored emotion like static. It's like static on the radio. When you're not fully dialed in to a station and you hear static, that's what old stored emotion does in the body. It creates noise. It creates distraction. It inhibits communication. It keeps the body from being able to access its true power, its clarity of signal. And so all of that noise creates a burden. It creates heaviness, and it takes more energy to do normal things. So that's really what we're doing. We're getting rid of the noise with energy medicine and even energy healing and leaving the body in a lighter state of being. Okay. So what I want to do real quick, I want to do a session for you, and I want to focus on this idea of noise, because we all have some noise in our life. We all have stress. You know, there are days where we're overcommitted or overwhelmed, or the days where we ate something that didn't agree with us, or the days where we're fighting off a cold, or there's always times where we feel a little bit off. And if we can access healing in those moments, we can really propel forward. So I'm just going to tune in and really balance this idea for everyone listening, anyone listening, you, that's you who is listening. All right. So the first place I want to start is holding this heart to brain balance. So it's commonly thought of as the body having three brains, three big brains. The head brain, which is the one we think about, the heart brain, and then the gut brain, the enteric brain. And we're learning more and more about the enteric brain every time, all the time. More research is being done. We're recognizing how important this ecosystem of microbes is in the gut. And the heart, of course, is the strongest energy field we have in the body. So these are super important places. We're going to hold this heart and its relationship with the head brain, the nervous system, central nervous system. And we're going to hold this idea of noise, and we're going to ask your body, what noise are you ready to let go of today? What noise is no longer serving you? What are you open to hearing about in this moment? And we're going to ask that your body, we're going to give permission for your body to let this move. Now, sometimes we have a little bit of a concern or an anxiety almost who will I be if I let go of what I've been holding for so long? This is really common in my work with people. My work goes really deep and down kind of to the foundation of who we are. And we have to remind ourselves when this fear comes up. It's a regular fear that presents itself. We have to remind ourselves that we are who we are. We are an accumulation of our past experiences. We are not our pain. Our pain may have defined who we are, but it isn't who we are. So we can really let go. I always think of it as an attic. I mean, we have an attic. We have lots of extra boxes that are old and dusty sitting around. We haven't touched them in years, but they're clutter and they're blocking up the works. They're clogging things. We don't need those boxes. We haven't needed them. We don't need them. We can let them go. It doesn't change the house. It just makes it more spacious. And there's more space for newness to come in once that attic has been decluttered and cleared. This is exactly the idea here. Your identity doesn't change when you let go of past pain. The identity is redirected into something positive. So if your identity now revolves around your health symptoms, then yes, your identity might change if you let go of past pain, but you're still you. Your identity then can start focusing on something else that you want to do in your life rather than just focus on health. So we're going to give the body permission to let go of this fear of shifting into something new and letting go of what isn't serving you. Now, after this balance, you may notice that you're able to declutter in your house where you weren't before, because we have this same relationship with items in our environment that we're afraid to let go of. Even though we haven't used them, even though, you haven't looked at it, you haven't touched it, you're afraid to let it go. It's very hard to declutter. This is a fear of letting go, and we're holding this. Now, we're bouncing this in the heart to the nervous system. This is also a very common thread of energy in the large intestine and lung energies. When we breathe, each time we breathe, we take in air and then we exhale. When we exhale, we are letting go. We are letting something release. When you take a deep breath and an exhale, you can notice, is it harder for you to get air in, or is it harder for you to let it all release? And typically, you'll have a significant difference. You'll feel that it's really hard to get a super deep breath in. You just feel tightness and restriction blocking you from really filling the chest, or you'll feel it's really hard to let the air out, and you feel like you can't fully get a really deep, full exhale. So I invite you to play with that and see where you might have resistance taking in life or letting it go. And of course, we can be blocked in both, but typically there's one that is more prominent than another. At least, it can change over time, but in a given moment. So we're holding that idea as well, this taking in life and letting life go, tying that to the breathing cycle. Now, when we breathe, we create a lot of movement in the body. We move the diaphragm. We move the intercostal muscles. The pelvic floor is even affected by our breathing, and especially if we're doing it properly, if we're getting a decent breath in. And I've heard even the brain, the cerebrospinal fluid, moves in accordance with a rhythm sometimes linked to the breath. So we're holding this idea of movement in the body with the breathing cycle. Inviting more movement in your body. Now, coming back to that heart to brain and the static, we want to clear more static. So we are just letting the low-hanging fruit clear and release. And we're going to go back into that fear of change, because this is such a big factor for so many of us. You know, routine is nice. It's comforting. It feels good. We know what to expect. We don't have to worry. You know, it's a given. It's very comforting to know routine, especially if you're sensitive or your children are sensitive. Routine is a good thing. But routine can actually be detrimental when it locks us into certain modes of being when it's time to get out of that, like when it's time to shift into something better. Routine can actually lock us in to dysfunction or something that we're ready to let go of. So we're going to hold this idea of change, holding fear of change. Who will I be when I let go of all this baggage that I have in my subconscious mind? And we're gonna imprint a little picture here. I will be lighter. I will be happier. I will be able to feel more joy. I will be able to pursue my interests instead of having to focus on my health. I will have freedom. And sometimes we actually have an intolerance to feeling good. So we're going to bundle all those up in a little, I think of it as a little cartoon cloud, right? A little cloud of thought. All those good ideas we are packaging up, holding that, and allowing ourselves to get used to the idea of being free, of feeling better, of having power. Of being in charge of the way our life is going, or feeling in charge. All of these ideas we're holding in your system, and we're clearing any intolerance. So just like we can be allergic or intolerant of a particular food or substance, we're holding this idea with feeling good. And we're just going to hold joy in the heart, the generation of joy in the heart. And clearing any resistance, any feeling unworthy, any shame or guilt. There's suffering in the world. Why should I feel good? We want to let that go. It doesn't help the world if you think that way. And so as a little side balance on that, let's just talk a second. When we feel good, what happens when we feel good? Our energy increases. It's higher in vibration. When our vibration is higher, everything that we touch is shifted in a positive way. We amplify, we lift up others around us by being happy. So I don't know if you've ever felt that. Have you ever felt someone who's just super happy and they come into a room and all of a sudden you feel good too? Like, it's truly contagious. That's what happens when we feel good. We affect everyone in our environment to feel good as well. We amplify the vibration of everyone in our environment. And that has a ripple effect, because then those people feel better. And they touch the people in their environment, and this goes on and on. So feeling good, actually, you're being a role model, and you are increasing the vibration of everything in your environment. This is not just a luxury. This is why we are here. Like, this is important. This is social giving. This is helping everyone around us. By osmosis, like just by being in our environment. So we want to clear any guilt of feeling good, that it's a luxury, that other people are suffering. Why should I have it easy? That it's a waste of resources. Any of that thinking, we really want to let go, because it's completely the opposite. By anchoring joy, feeling better, we amplify everyone around us and help the world increase in vibration. So we're using this knowledge to really shift out any guilt or shame in the heart that is blocking the generation of joy. Now, we know through medical research that feeling good actually directly affects the nervous system and the immune system, the cardiovascular system, and even the gut. They've shown that position, physiological composition, the functional composition of the gut microbiome shifts with our emotion. So when you feel super depressed, your microbiome changes. And when you feel really good, your microbiome changes. This is super important because our microbiome governs our neurotransmitter production. It governs our metabolic rate, like our metabolic hormones. It governs, we have neuroendocrine cells in the gut that are very sensitive to the microbiome and the environment. 80% of your serotonin is made in the gut. Serotonin is your feel-good neurotransmitter, okay? And some of us, when we are anxious or depressed, don't have enough of it. So when we are able to feel good, we are boosting serotonin. We are boosting that microbiome. We're boosting our immune system, our cardiovascular system. So we're holding all these brain-body connections, emotion body connections, mind-body connections, and we are balancing this joy production or being able to generate joy in the heart, linking that to the small intestine, heart brain to enteric brain. Doing this balance in your body with the intention of boosting serotonin and other feel-good neurotransmitters, neuropeptides, neurohormones, and communicators. Okay, very good. Now we're holding another block to joy, and that is other people's pain. So especially if we're really sensitive, maybe your mother had a really rough childhood where she wasn't treated very well, and she had a lot of sadness from that. And it affected you when you were little. And maybe subconsciously, maybe not even consciously, and probably in most cases it would be subconscious. It's not okay to feel good. Other people didn't feel good. There's too much pain in the world. It's not okay to feel good. We want to neutralize this for you. Any place where you have taken on that it's not okay to generate joy in your body because of other people's suffering, we want to clear this. Now, you and I consciously know that your suffering is not going to fix someone else's suffering. Like, if we just stop and think about that logically, it's not going to help anything because that person's suffering is past. It's done. There's no way to change it. It's done. The present moment is where we are living. It's not done. We have the ability to change the present moment, but we can't change the past. We can respond to the past, but we can't change it. So there's really no value in holding ourselves back because of someone else's suffering. It does no good. It's not beneficial in any way, shape, or form. And in fact, it's detrimental because of what we talked about earlier. If we are keeping ourselves from amplifying our energy, we are holding back the evolution of the world. Like we are holding back our evolution, our health, and therefore those around us. So we don't want to do that. So we want to clear any place in your body where you are attuned to a belief system that you can't feel good because of someone else's pain. Now, what's flashing up for me here is if you had a sibling or a very close friend or maybe even a parent with a significant health problem. That's obviously a very hard situation. Clear that specific situation where you felt that it wasn't okay to feel good because of someone else's immediate suffering in your environment. We're going to balance you to that heaviness of maybe the guilt of feeling good, of allowing yourself to feel good when someone else is suffering. So we're clearing this for you. Okay. All right, very good. Now, holding joy generation in the heart and small intestine. So the heart and small intestine are actually joined through fire element in traditional Chinese medicine and five element theory. And the primary emotions of these energy centers or these organs are joy and sadness. We're going to hold joy in these two centers, gut and heart. And we're growing joy. It's like we're starting with a small little ball and we're growing it into a larger energy in both of those centers. So we're really increasing the tolerance to feeling good. So I don't know if you've ever felt this, but if you are intolerant of feeling good, it's almost as if your body's allergic to it. We talked about this a sec ago. You'll have something feel good. Maybe you get a recognition at work, or you just have an amazing day where everybody feels good and is cooperating and things are going well, or you're getting ready, you're on a vacation that you've saved up for years, you know, for a long time, maybe not years, but a long time to go on. It's a really special vacation. Things are going great until you reach your threshold of feeling good. And then you have to somehow bring yourself back down because it's too much. You've exceeded that threshold. It's like an intolerance. And so something happens. Maybe you get in an argument with someone. Maybe you fall and sprain your ankle. Maybe your car gets a flat tire. There can be so many different ways that we can do this, but it brings that joy back down into something more usual for your system, such as frustration or not feeling good. So we're going to hold this intolerance to joy. And what we want to do is lift the threshold. So if your threshold is feeling good 20% of the time, we want that threshold to rise to 60% of the time. You know, we want a significant increase. We don't want to blow any gaskets and do anything that's going to decrease our tolerance and make us not feel good or get sick or anything like that. But we want to push the boundaries and raise our tolerance for joy. Now, there's a really simple thing you can do in your daily life every single day, you know, any day. And that is when you notice something that makes you feel good. Let's say you're waking up, you're in your kitchen, and the sun is rising, and it's gorgeous, beautiful sunrise. Normally, we're like, oh, sunrise, and then we instantly distract ourselves to go on with something else. We don't let ourselves really feel the joy of a moment. This is a subconscious pattern. But what we can do is force ourselves to lean into that joy moment for just, you know, 20, 30 seconds is all it takes. Lean into moments of joy. And the smaller the moments, the easier it is. And I think the more effective it is. Lean into that moment. Just allow yourself to sit and look at that sunrise for 15, 20 seconds and feel joy. Wow, that's so beautiful. Look at the colors of that. It's amazing how the clouds look with the sunlight. Isn't it neat how those rays of light light up the sky? That's all it takes. That much time. Boom, done. You've leaned into it. You've allowed yourself to connect with that moment of joy in a deeper way. Let's say you're on the couch and your pet jumps up on the couch and sits next to you. Oh, your pet always sits next to you. No big deal. It's just commonplace. Take a moment and pet your pet and feel the softness of their fur. Feel their loving presence. You know, the fact that they want to be with you. They want to be next to you. Allow that positive energy to come in. Lean into that moment. The sensory input of touch. The loving presence. Leaning into it. All right, so that's a huge way to increase your tolerance for joy. It is going to affect your heart health and your gut health so directly. So that's a huge practice you can do anytime, anywhere. Lean into a moment of joy and force yourself to feel it a little longer than normal. You will find that often you are distracting yourself from just embracing those moments. And we want to flip that because it's going to have a direct impact. All right, so we've lifted your tolerance for joy. We're helping lean into moments of joy. Now we want to let the heart circulate joy through the body. And this is connecting into the both the oxygenation of the blood and the circulation of the blood. So we're just going to hold that here. Circulation. We do have a meridian that is responsible for that. And we're going to hold that here too. The pericardium meridian. Balancing and boosting. This has a lot to do with our ability to feel love, feel self-love, feel love in relationship with others, to activate that heart energy, to be able to feel good and feel joy. We're balancing this for you. Now we're going to link that down to the hips, actually. We do have some muscles in our pelvic girdle that are very much linked to those ideas. And we can get really tight muscles in the pelvis that keep us from feeling strong, having proper posture, and having resilience, not having too much movement, but enough movement in all the joints, the hip joints and the SI joints and the pubic bone, even the pubic symphysis. So we're going to hold all of this, the pelvic girdle, with this connection with pericardium meridian. Again, with this idea of anchoring joy and its impact on the physical body, the immune system, the nervous system, the cardiovascular system, and more. We're just really bringing in, I am worthy. I'm worthy of feeling good. I'm worthy of being healthy. I'm worthy of having resilience. I'm worthy of being strong. I'm worthy of all of those things. And any place where that is not true for you, and many of us carry these belief systems that we're not worthy of those things, this is not uncommon. This is not rare. It's very commonplace. I would even say endemic for those who are suffering from chronic illness. This is a significant piece of the healing puzzle. We're allowing this to shift. Before we wrap up, let's hold the immune system because we've talked about how all of this mind stuff really affects the body, but we really want to draw a direct connection. So we're going to hold the immune system and we're actually going to balance the adaptive arm of the immune system. This is the part that remembers infections. It's the part that responds to vaccines. It's the part that makes antibodies. And we're going to balance this arm of the immune system. And we have these cells that are called memory cells, and they do really, I think they include our antibodies. The memory cells don't just remember physical antigens, they also remember other things. So we're going to clear any of this memory that we have worked on today from the immune system of not being worthy of joy, of needing to keep yourself small, of it not being okay to feel good, and any other emotional thread we've worked on relative to memory of the past that might be locked into the immune system. We're clearing this from the memory cells. Now, there's some pretty intricate signaling that goes on between our immune cells. We've got cytokines and chemokines, and we've got tagging and protein, little tags that are on the surface of cells. It's a very intricate process of how the immune system knows what needs to be cleaned up, killed and cleaned up, and what is a body tissue and needs to not be attacked. We're holding all of this communication in the immune system, especially in the adaptive arm of the immune system. And we're optimizing that function. So let's just reference if you have allergies, if you have sensitivities, if you overreact to certain environmental triggers, really holding that in the immune system, repairing those response paradigms of histamine, of mast cells, of cytokines. Of immune confusion, confusion on what is supposed to be attacked and what isn't. We're holding all these threads and balancing this for you. Moving out fear from the immune system and moving in, I'm safe, I feel good, joy and safety, protection. All right. And the last thing I want to balance here in our session together today is this idea of confidence and power. I have the power to shift my reality. I have the power through my mind and through lifestyle factors to completely revolutionize my health. I have the power to reboot my body's natural healing ability. My body actually knows how to heal innately. All of these are power energies. And when we are disempowered, when we feel that we have no control, we can't quite get in touch with that power. We are rebooting this for you to feel that you do have the ability to change your reality. You do have the ability to change your health, to have things be different than they have been, and even maybe than you've been told they can be. We can heal things that people say are untreatable, that your doctor may have told you there's no solution for, that even your alternative holistic practitioners might not have answers for. We can heal these things. Your body is amazingly smart. It has an innate healing ability. We are bringing that in and connecting you to it. All right. So that concludes our session today. I'm going to ground you down. Everybody just take a couple of deep breaths. As you exhale, imagine pulling your energy down into your feet and connecting to the earth. We are here. We're physical beings. We are here to be physical. We need to be connected to the earth. We are grounding you down. All right, and that concludes our session. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions, about my work, head on over to raisenenergy.com. You can learn more. I do individual sessions, and I have some pretty amazing digital healing that is very affordable and super powerful. So lots of ways to help people. And I think that brings us to the top of the hour, Nicole, right?
I was on mute there. Yep, we're at the top of the hour. Great show today, and very cool to do something a little different. To the callers that are just coming on the board now, we're going to continue. We're going to reset and open lines all day till 6 p.m. Pacific today, so hopefully lines are going to work. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you, Nicole.
Sarah's all linked up at newsforthesoul.com. And we're back. If you're on the board, you're going to have to call back in. And we continue on with the next show right after this.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.